Hey, it's me and you. Welcome. Here's the thing, guys. As far as I'm aware, in 40 episodes, not once have I had to give one of these shows an adult rating. But this week, for episode 41, I think I must. So if you're under 18, I would argue that this week's episode isn't for you. If you're over 18, I still have doubts over whether this show is going to be for you, because I'm going to be talking at least a third of the time about smut. All right. I mean, it's not smut as such. It's just the talking point. It's not exactly rainbows and puppies, to be honest. I'm definitely not talking about rainbows and puppies this week. And there you go. You've been warned. You've been told. Let's get on. It's all true. It's all true. Rated 18 this week, friends. And I guess when we get to the end of this, you can tell me whether that rating had merit or not. But I'm having one of those weeks where I posted on Instagram like an hour and a half ago saying I couldn't be arsed. And I'm going to go to the shop and buy beer because I feel like I needed to. And that's exactly what I've done. So without further ado... Ooh, I'm having trouble with this bottle opener. Hang on. There we go. So, my microphone's all over the place at the moment. I have today, Hop House 13 is, without question, one of the nicest mainstream, no, it is the nicest mainstream beer I've ever had as an adult. I say mainstream beer because I don't generally like mainstream. You know, your Carling, your Foster's, your Carlsberg, your Budweiser, all that bollocks that I drank when I was a kid, teen, thinking I was cool. Now I realise I'd have been better off drinking my own piss, to be honest. But Hop House 13, I became aware of it like, what, 2 or 3 years ago? It's a relatively new brand, I guess. But I just think in terms of mainstream, it's just delicious. It makes me so happy. So cheers. Oh, I needed that this week. I needed that tonight because I'm in one of those flat energy nights. So I also reckon that this might be a shortish episode this week as well, because what did I just post on? I just posted on Instagram. You'd have probably seen it if you follow me on Instagram. This is what I posted an hour and a half ago. Would anyone like to record my podcast for me this week? Because I can't be arsed. I'm off to buy some beer. That might lift my mood. Yes, tomorrow's episode will be a beer episode. It's been a while since we had a beer episode. You have until 9 p.m. tonight to post any questions below, and I'll answer during the show, just like last week. And as far as I'm aware, no questions. Oh, hang on a minute. Someone's written about, someone's made a beer reference, which isn't technically what I asked for. But no questions, and I suspected not. I've realised I only get questions asked when I do it in an Instagram story. I think when you make a request for questions public, people are like, well, I can't ask you that publicly. I don't know. Maybe I'm just speculating unnecessarily, or maybe people just don't give two shits. But no questions, so it's just you and I. It's a probably 30, 40-minute episode this week, I reckon. A little bit of smut thrown in, and my recommendations, because this week has been relatively uneventful. And when I say uneventful, it's not been full of stuff that I can talk to you about, which is a shame. Specifically, I can't talk about one of the things because I've been, one of the conditions of me pursuing this potential new life avenue is I can't talk about it. So that's quite frustrating for me to say that, because from your point of view as a listener, there's nothing worse than when someone talks about something and says they can't talk about it, because in your shoes, I'm thinking, well, why did you talk about it then? Knobhead. I get that. I have sympathy with it, but I also need you to understand that this will be a short episode because I can't talk about what I'd like to talk about. In an ideal world, however, in 3 or 4 or 5 months, if the thing pans out, I can then reference back to this episode 41 and say, you know, in episode 41, when I said I am potentially taking a life pivot and I couldn't talk about it, well, that's because I'm now doing this. So there you go. I just wanted to put some degree of a line in some kind of fictitious sand. What am I talking about? I don't know. But much of the week has been focused on that. So in the absence of being able to talk about it, all I have left is talking about ball bags, penises, and boobs. And we're going to come on to that in a minute. But also, I have been watching stuff on YouTube. So I'm going to recommend some things that I've watched that I hope you like. And one new documentary on BBC that blew my mind. It was exquisite. It was exquisite and it was eye-opening and it made me angry. But I tempered my anger because I'm trying to be a better man. And I'm going to talk to you about that as well. And I hope you take an hour out of your week to go and check it out, maybe over the weekend, because it's well worth a watch. You will get annoyed. You will have your eyes opened. You will feel like you watched something of substance, but mostly you'll be pissed off by the naivety of youth today. And I'm super proud of Ellie Flynn, who's the presenter of it. Do you remember when I interviewed Ellie Flynn, the BBC journalist, undercover journalist and presenter about, I don't know, I interviewed her like weeks ago. She's the presenter of this documentary and it's a beautiful thing. I would say it's one of the best things I've watched this year. So I'm going to talk to you about that as well. But first, can I just have another sip? Because I just realised I've not taken a breath. How's your week been? Has yours been better than mine in terms of more events? I mean, did it have anything of note your week this week? It's not that my week hasn't been eventful. It's, you know, I'm actually quite proud of getting some valuable stuff done. It's just a shame that I can't talk. Why am I going backwards and talking about shit I just said? Never mind. Listen, I want you to answer me a question, right? Have you ever watched, this is the first of the three recommendations I have for you this week. Have you ever watched Channel 4 dating game show Naked Attraction? Have you ever watched it? Because for reasons that I don't want to go into right now, or I can't, I've been watching a lot of them this week. And Naked Attraction, this is the format, if you're not familiar with Naked Attraction, if you're one of my non-UK listeners. Naked Attraction is a show where each week, a man, a single man and a single woman are looking for a date. And in the case of the single woman, she is presented by six pods or boxes. Inside the boxes, full length boxes are men. So there's six boxes with a man in each. And in each round, the front panel of the box raises a little bit so that the first time it raises, you can see everything from their feet to their waist. And then the woman has to pick which of those men she wants to reject and not go on a date on. Then the panel will raise a little bit more so that you can see everything from their feet up to their neck. And then she'll reject one of the people she's left with four. Then the panel will raise completely so that she can see the entire naked body. Sorry, I forgot to mention that the man is naked. I don't know why I forgot to mention that. Maybe I assumed it was obvious from the title. Naked Attraction. Everyone in the box is naked. So it raises completely. She can see everything. Then she rejects someone else. Then they speak briefly. She rejects based on their answers. Then she chooses one of the people. And throughout the entire four or five rounds, they're naked. Now, let's just take a step back to when I said the first time that the box reveals part of the body, everything from their feet to their waist. Now, given I just said that all the men in the box are naked, correct, their bollocks and cock is hanging out. Now, I've been aware of this show for some time, but I've just had to really get involved and really watch it this week. And I don't know how it sounds to you, but I remember the first time I heard about the show and I thought, what is that? It might not be for me, but it's... Can I just say, I think it's a very, very, very watchable show. I've had a whale of a time watching it, and not even for the reasons you might think, like I'm not laughing at the show. I think the show is somewhat genius in its simplicity, actually. And it's presented by Anna Richardson, who I think is everything a great host should be. She's fun, she's engaging, she doesn't take the show excessively seriously, but she's very good as a presenter. You can tell that everybody warms to her. She throws in gags which you wouldn't expect a presenter to throw in.
She's just great. There's nothing about the show I don't like, to be honest. Even the people who are looking to go on a date or the people in the boxes, I generally like them all. So it's cast exceptionally well. And there's one thing that I've noticed, however, that was an inappropriate use of however, actually. Because the thing I've noticed about the show is something of a blessing and an ego stroke, if you like. The one thing I've noticed over my binging this week, I've noticed for the first time in my entire life, and you were warned at the top of the show, so if what I say next seems crass, then that's your problem. But I've noticed this week for the first time in my entire life, how nice my cock is. I don't understand how my cock isn't on a plinth in a museum. Not because it's old and covered in dust, but it's just impressive. And the only reason I know that is because through watching this show, I never realised how hideous looking stroke, unattractive stroke, gross most cocks are. I never realized, like, how do I know what most cocks look like? I don't know. Like, the only time I see a cock really is if there happens to be porn on. And you can't use those as the standard, because I just consider those as stunt cocks, right? If you watch porn and think all cocks look like porn cocks, there's something seriously and desperately, and I would argue irreversibly dumb about you, right? You don't walk into an Aston Martin showroom and assume all cars look like that. So if you're watching porn and thinking all cocks look like that, I can't help you with regret. So what I'm saying is, with the exception of stunt cocks in porn, I've not really had much interaction with penises until this show, where there's at least six an episode. And I was like, hang on a minute, is that what cocks look like? I felt like I should ring every single one of my female friends and apologise. I genuinely wanted to apologise to my female friends. Like, you've been touching that? Sometimes tasting? Ooh. Why the fuck have you done that? Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. They're just... I developed a new found appreciation of my cock, and there's no subtle, modest, non-knobhead way for me to say that I have a supreme So for those of you who, as a direct result of me talking about this show, are now thinking, what the fuck is this show? Right, I have some clips to share with you, if I can just find one clip from you. So I'm going to tell you where you can watch this clip for free online, but let's just listen to this now.
Wow, nice, Willie. A nice form, you know, nice shape.
That's a very large appendage.
Yeah? You think so?
Do you not think so?
It's pretty big.
Is that something you're into? Is it girth or length?
I think more girth than length. Because too much length is painful. It's like, let's do a doggy style. You're like, really?
I know. It is.
So that was a conversation with Anya, who is the single woman looking for love on this show. And she was looking at a penis from one of the guys in the six boxes. And she was talking to the presenter, Anna. Now, two things you need to be aware of. One, Anya is fit. Very attractive. So that episode is on YouTube. All right. If you go onto YouTube and type in Naked Attraction full episode series one, you can watch all 47 majestic minutes of this show. This was actually the first ever episode, and yeah, I'd recommend it actually. And I don't know. I guess what I want to ask and what I want to know, and this is one for you women listening today. My question is very simple. If we discount the, let's say, parental benefits of a penis, i.e.
if you wish to be a mother, right, I accept that you will tolerate your penis due to its child delivering qualities, right? But with the exception of it delivering you a child, right? And also, if I'm to be honest and fair, I guess when the penis is inside, that's going to generate a certain degree of friction. As such, pleasure. I get that. Right. Okay, so we'll accept that it's going to bring you a child and it's going to bring you some degree of pleasure. These things notwithstanding, do you find the aesthetic of a cock attractive? Because I can't imagine that you would. Now, this isn't just a dude saying, of course I don't like cocks. Why would I think a cock is nice? That's not me. As you know, I'm not that guy. Like some of the guys on this show, for example, I'm looking at their torso thinking, I wish I had his shoulders, or I wish I had his guns, or I wish I had less flimsy ass wrists like I do, and I wish I had his wrists. I can appreciate an impressive dude. And if some of the penises are impressive, I'd appreciate them. But there just aren't any. So my question is simple. Aside from the obvious benefits of a penis, aesthetically, do you find them pleasing? And in fact, let's take that question a little bit, forgive the pun, deeper, right? Out of all the penises you've had in your time, I don't need you to give me numbers. I know that it wouldn't do you any favours, if you to be honest. We all know you've had a few. Right. How many of the penises you've enjoyed in your life would you say you actually... They were nicely constructed. So the question here is twofold. Just generally, do you find the aesthetic of a penis pleasing? And secondly, of the vast amount you've had, how many of them were you like, actually, that is a penis that, yeah, that is an ornament. Like how many times you looked at a penis and thought, that is an ornament. I would hang that on my wall. They're two different questions. They're subtly different, but I'm fascinated to know the answer. Overall, do you find them attractive, penises? And if not, have you ever seen one that you did enjoy? And what fraction of your whole number does that count for? Because I'm unflinching in my belief that the penis isn't an attractive thing. And yeah, I just want to apologise to you women for having to make do. I mean, listen, here's the thing, right? I get the closest equivalent to a penis on a woman is their breasts. I took a pause there because one listener hates the word and I just thought, oh shit, she's not going to like this, but fuck it. Right? There is actually a listener, Jo. Sorry, kid. She doesn't like the word breasts. And every time I use it on the show, she'll DM me saying, use another word. But no. With regret, the problem is yours. Anyway. Where was I? Jesus Christ. Yes, so the equivalent of for us men to look at and covet is breasts. Now, I've never been and probably never will be a breast man. It's one of those things you either are or you aren't. I've never been a breast man, but even I can see the merit of breasts, right? Because, you know, they're round. They're round. Like, being round is in of itself sufficient, let's be honest, because for the most part in life, anything round is good. Have you ever thought about that? I was thinking about this before the show. All round things are mostly good, right? The wheel is lauded for what it's brought to civilization. Like everybody talks about the wheel, justifiably so. The sun gives us life, right? The sun gives us life. So the sun is coveted, as it should be. And if you want to go down to basic level, pizza is round. And who doesn't like pizza, right? As far as I'm concerned, nothing round is bad for us. Maybe a round of bullets, but to be fair, even that can win you a panda at the fair. So I stand by, nothing round is bad. So I get why mostly breasts are appealing to dudes, even though I'm not a breast man. I get the allure, but I fail to see any positive redeeming feature of the cock. Apart, as previously mentioned, the sensation and the bringing of offspring.
I'm willing to put my neck out and say no one, no female listener is going to DM me and say, generally speaking, I like the look of a cock. Now, if you are one of those women who thinks that, I genuinely will not give you shit if you DM me, but I just don't think there are any out there. So I would argue that a cock is a means to an end, and it's not something that you generally enjoy the look of. If you disagree, send me a direct message and it will be confidential. Yeah, I mean, I would welcome someone DMing me saying, CK, I love a cock. I mean, to be fair, I would, you know what I'm like. You know I'd be laughing the shit out of myself if you send me DM saying, CK, I can't lie, I love a good cock. I'm not having it. Is it weird, by the way? Is it weird that I've only just realised now, after 40 years, that there is no redeeming features of a cock and they're rather ugly? Because to be fair, I've often heard women joke about the fact that they're not the most aesthetically pleasing of shapes. I've heard that, but I've never really, you know, I've only ever had mine. So I'm like, oh, is that not nice? But then watching the show, and I've probably watched 5 episodes this week. So this week I've seen 30 cocks. That is an almost 100% increase per annum than I would normally see. Right? So suddenly, comparing and contrasting, I'm thinking, CK, Jesus, you need to swing that bad boy around more, because it's impressive. It doesn't veer off to the left. It's not like, how can I put this? It's not wearing a turtleneck 3 sizes too large. It's not discoloured. It doesn't look like, I don't know. It doesn't look like a prawn that's been forgotten behind the back of the sofa for a few weeks. It has none of those defining characteristics, but many of them did. So anyway, I feel like I've been talking about cocks far too long, really. And again, I want to know. Send me a direct message. This is the one week that I don't think I've ever begged you for anything before, ever. I don't think I've ever begged you for anything. But I'm willing to swallow my pride and say, women, because you and I both know that more women listen to this show than dudes, or at least the feedback would suggest that. I get more messages from women than men, significantly more. So I'm begging you. Did you see how I just paused there? Shame. I'm begging you to let me know how you feel about the cock. Am I overreacting here, or are they generally wank? That's all I have to say on the issue of cocks. Let's move along to the second thing that I've watched this week. And I'm just looking at this video on YouTube now of Naked Attraction. Annie is so cute. Anyway, right, I've closed her down. I want to move on now to Born to Kill, which is a documentary, short documentary, 45 minutes on YouTube, and it is telling the story of Charles Starkweather, who in the late 50s, with his 14-year-old girlfriend, he was 19, and over the course of 1 week, they killed 11 human beings. And the only reason I know anything about this documentary is because, you know, I've referenced my inspiration to this podcast many times, Bill Burr, American comedian, and he was talking about it in his latest episode. He was watching a film that was inspired by their story, so I plugged the name into YouTube and this documentary came up. And the reason I guess I was intrigued is because this guy, Charles Starkweather, was universally recognised to be a good-looking, handsome James Dean type. And it's just interesting how you always consider most killers to be somewhat evil-looking, but this guy was quite the opposite. He looked like he could be an actor, depending on if you're into that kind of thing. And I'm just going to play a little clip from it now, because this episode, as you know, given the fact I've not had a great deal on this week, is very, let's say this episode is very loose and shallow and I have nothing else to do other than share with you what I've been watching this week. So this is my recommendation number two, Born to Kill, Charles Starkweather. Here's the intro to the doc.
Charles Starkweather, a teenage killer with James Dean looks.
He was a real tough, dangerous guy.
A rebel without a cause that spread terror in a community.
Anyone who had a gun got the gun out and loaded it.
National Guard wandering all over Lincoln expecting that he would show up someplace.
With his 14-year-old girlfriend, Carol Fugate, he went on a murderous road trip through 1950s Middle America, leaving a trail of dead men, women, and children in their wake.
The murders were horrendously brutal. It is not just a one-on-one, okay, I'm shooting you, you're dead.
They opened the door to the...
Okay, for some reason, my MacBook's decided to freeze on me, but it's been doing that all week, actually. I definitely need to take this bad boy in to get repaired. But I would say, weirdly, I don't have a great deal to say in terms of my thoughts on this episode, because my thoughts weren't in any way unique to the kind of thoughts I usually have to these episodes. I guess underpinning all of my thoughts when I'm watching these documentaries is, I don't know, you know that I'm fascinated by psychology and human behavior and human nature, and I'm just fascinated by what it takes to kill another human. And are we all somewhere on the spectrum where it would only ever take one thing to make us? I'm truly fascinated by it, and the fact this was in the 50s, and I don't know. I'd strongly recommend it. And if you're into that kind of thing, I would probably recommend Crimes That Shook Australia. I discovered this last year and it's brilliant. It's great. And I think I was a little bit naive before I discovered this, because when I think about Australia, I think about surfing, I think about barbecues, I think about a very chilled, relaxed, friendly group of humans, as in Australians. Turns out they're all murdering bastards. So, Crimes That Shook Australia really opened my eyes, and I'm slightly embarrassed to even admit it. It's like, dude, they're like murderers everywhere. Like, did you actually think they were just sat around eating sausages? Because they're not. There are some killers in Australia as well, mate. There's probably one on your street, actually. Do you think that's true? Do you think... Oh, here's a question. Jesus Christ. Here's a question. If we... Oh, Christ almighty. How close to you do you think the nearest murderer is? Because if we assume that there's murderers living amongst us, the closest murderer to you is either on your street or 10 miles away or 50 miles away or maybe 100 yards away. Because there's going to be a murderer near me, but the question is, where is he or she? Like, where is he or she? Now, whether that's a former murderer or... like they've been released and they've been housed somewhere nearby, or whether that's an existing murderer that hasn't been caught yet. There's a murderer near me, but how near? Now, I'm not saying how near because I'm scared, because I think there's nothing to gain from me being scared. If he or she's nearby, he or she's nearby. But my question is, how near? I've never thought about that, which is weird given that I'm interested in these kind of shows and stuff, but I've never questioned and thought, I wonder where my nearest murderer... Sorry, that makes... where is my nearest murderer? That's not the kind of shit people Google. Like, when you know when you want a pizza. Like, there is 15 pizza shops within a 1 mile radius. Aha, but how many killers? Now, you'll notice I didn't laugh there because I don't think it's funny, but that's just where my mind goes. It's just odd, and I don't know necessarily why I'm considering Googling where he or she is, but I don't know. Anyway, you can tell I'm filling. If I ever go off on these tangents and that tangent coincides with me opening the show with I don't have much, that's because it's called padding. That is exactly what that just was. That was padding. So anyway, back to what I was talking about. Crimes That Shook Australia. If you are interested, I would highly recommend you watch one that was called Crimes That Shook Australia, Jill Maher. This is how you spell Maher, because Australians spell Maher in a very strange way. Jill, J-I-L-L, Maher is spelled M-E-A-G-H-E-R. Crimes of Shook Australia, the case of Jill Maher. It is 43 minutes. And the thing I took away from this, apart from the tragedy that it was, she was like, what was she, late 20s? And I was just impressed by how painstaking, like the way they found the guy by cross-referencing cars going under a toll bridge blew my mind. When you're someone that's natural, right, okay, I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but my natural default is one that prefers the path of least resistance, i.e. I'm lazy. I can be very lazy. So I don't think I'm cut out to be a detective. But in this case of Jill Maher, the way they tracked down the guy that killed her was like, holy fuck. Like, I would rather work in McDonald's than have the responsibility of what those detectives did. And I'm so impressed. I think it takes a certain type of person to be a detective, seemingly. And the painstaking work they had to do was like, oh my God, bravo. And I would highly recommend you watch that episode if you're into that kind of shit. Once again, Crimes That Shook Australia, Jill Maher. Let me know what you think. Send me a direct message and all of that shit. Now, let's move on to my final recommendation of the week while I take one sip. Wow, how long have I been talking for now? I reckon this is going to be like a sub 40 minute episode. And I'm not proud of that, because I know that when you're into a podcast and it's only once a week, lazy piece of shit, you want it to be like a full-on episode. But in my defense, I was looking over the last few, I was looking over the last 2 months, and I've been banging out these 50-minuters like, I've been banging them out like Skittles, and I'm proud. And the listener numbers are continuing to, well, they've plateaued, actually. They've plateaued at a number I'm happy with. There's always, every week I know that a certain number of you will turn up and listen to the show. And for that, I can't tell you how grateful I am. That is singularly why I turn up and hang out, because I now have a feeling that you are looking forward to the weekly episode. And as I said, within an hour of me releasing each episode, the number of you that are listening is pleasing me. Like this right, listen, if you're new to this podcast, just so you know, there's an episode every single Friday and I release it every single Friday morning. When I first started doing this, I'd release an episode on a Friday morning, then I'd check in the stats by Monday, and if I was lucky, four human beings have listened. Nowadays, I'll schedule it for a Friday morning release. I'll wake up and, you know, it'll be in double figures, which is enormously gratifying for me. So thank you sincerely for those of you that I suspect have clicked the favorite button and you now get alerted when there's a new episode. As a creator and a podcaster, that is very, very gratifying. So thanks. I don't know if that number's now going to plummet given all the talk of ball sacks in this episode, but I don't know. For all I know, it might even peak. You might be, oh, listen to CK's podcast. He talks about cocks. I love a cock. Yeah, we know, Tracy. We've seen, we all know, Tracy. We know how much you love a cock. Yeah, thanks, love. Just carry on. Why did I just call her Tracy? That is such a cliche, calling her Tracy. If you're not a UK resident, you don't know why Tracy's funny. If you are a UK resident, you're laughing. Right. My final recommendation of the week is called Is This Coercive Control? And it's a documentary drama about coercive control. What is coercive control, CK? I'm glad you asked. Coercive control, according to Google, is an act or a pattern of acts of assault, threats, humiliation, and intimidation of... Sorry, let me start that again. Coercive control is an act or a pattern of acts of assault, threats, humiliation, and intimidation or other abuse that is used to harm, punish, or frighten a victim. Okay, so coercive control is one of those words that has become more prevalent in recent years. I think it became a legal term in 2015 here in the UK. And by legal term, I mean you could be convicted and sentenced to jail if found guilty of coercive control. And for the most part, coercive control, unlike physical abuse, is focused mostly on the emotional and psychological abuse and Diminishing of someone's sense of self is usually how coercive control is characterised. So BBC Three released a new documentary this week, which I've been banging on about on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen me reference it a couple of times. It's called Is This Coercive Control? Stick with me because it's quite intricate how they've made this show. So what they have running throughout this 55-minute documentary, they have got 20 young adults into a big, it looks like a mansion actually, but they've got 20 young, I think they're between 20 and 25 year olds. So they've got 20 young adults, all of them aged between 20 and 25, and they've put them up in a mansion for the evening. And they play them over the course of 2 or 3 days, they play them a dramatized, fictitious scenario between two people, Alex and Rachel, both in their early 30s, professionals. So they're watching this relationship from the genesis of the relationship through to when the relationship breaks down. And they're asking at intervals whether the man is demonstrating coercive control over his girlfriend, that's Rachel. So just to clarify, the 20-somethings, right, that have been brought into this mansion are watching a fictitious drama that's been written, that's been filmed, it's been filmed beautifully, by the way. The acting is exceptional, but it's just to see if young people are aware of the signs of coercive control. So Rachel and Alex meet, they're in a club, and then they move in together, and then Rachel loses her job. She's experiencing difficult times. Alex tells her that the way she dresses might not be appropriate, which is why she's struggling to get a job. And the relationship is incrementally developing. But the question is Alex, the man in this relationship, demonstrating coercive control over his girlfriend? Now, this is what really frustrates, but intrigued and fascinated me. They're asking these 20 contributors who are all young. Once again, I can't stress this enough. They're like age between 20 and 25, and there's 20 of them. I think there's 10 men, 10 young men, and 10 young women. And they're asking them at certain intervals, is Alex demonstrating coercive control? And I was stunned with a capital S at how many of these young kids, for all intents and purposes, were saying, no, he's just caring about her. He's just telling her not to dress like that because he cares about her. I was stunned that in 2020, they didn't think it was odd. So I'm going to play a little clip for you now. This is the youngsters giving their opinion after watching a little bit of the drama.
What do you think? Do you think she's a liar?
No. Well, technically, yeah. there's just not enough evidence. Because like you were saying, every single person here probably has told a white lie to get off work.
Yeah.
I know I have.
Sean, what do you think?
I don't know who to trust, but...
So quite a few of the men have focused on Rachel's behaviour. One even feels that she is trying to manipulate and control Alex. Let's see what the women think.
Before we get on to what the women think, can I just say, I'm going to warn you, if you decide to watch this show, as I said, it is filmed beautifully, it's produced beautifully, it's just a brilliant, I love it. As I said, one of the best things I've watched this year, but you will unquestionably be fucking annoyed by some of the responses that these kids are giving, even when they first ask them for their thoughts. And as a grown adult who's been on this planet for a reasonable number of years, you can see when a bloke is jealous, and you can see the red flags, but they were like, no, that's not jealousy, that's just him caring about her. So that pissed me off. But anyway, let's see what the women thought.
I love you. Let me take care of you. Yeah?
Okay, so what do you think of their relationship?
He's definitely showing signs of control. And for me, it seems like it could be quite an abusive relationship.
Unique, what do you think?
I think that she does display kind of like irrational and inconsistent behaviour, but in abusive relationships, there is a codependency which is fostered. I think that is like potentially the start of something that can be quite dangerous.
I think she's more of the red flag than him.
Yeah, the whole I love
you think she's the red flag.
Yeah, so he's not controlling in the sense. I think he's trying to savour the relationship so because he can see her flaying apart.
Do you think that she's showing some concerning behaviour?
Yes. We know that she has a final warning. We know that she's gotten fired. And we know her rent is going up. So it shows that she is just, like, probably a flaky person.
What do you think her behaviour's being like? What do you think she's like?
It's hard to tell because on one side, he's controlling her. But then on the other side as well, it's like she's being flaky when it comes to her job. Mm-hmm. If she's being so flaky when it comes to something so important as it is her job, then what's she going to be like in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to pause it there, guys, because you're probably going to be thinking a lot, what's all this talk about the job? But she's let go from her job, which exacerbates her difficult situation. So, I don't know. I was just listening to this from the get-go and I was thinking, oh, fuck. Like, I guess what I was thinking watching this is that you only know what you know, right? And if your upbringing, for example, was one that was quite traumatic and quite fraught, I guess then you maybe start thinking that's normal. So when you find yourself in a relationship like that, it's like, well, this is how everybody reacts. I know it's something of a cliche, but I think it's a very true one and a valid one. And there's some of the young people in this, there's one girl in particular called Abby. I don't know if I can find a clip from Abby, actually, but she was driving me fucking insane. Here we go. I'm going to play some. Here we go. This is Abby. So Abby was annoying the hell out of me for reasons I'll explain in a minute.
You bet, yeah.
What makes you feel sorry for him?
She's kind of maybe using him a wee bit, and she's phoning him like, I've got nowhere to stay, almost as if she knows he's going to offer.
I don't think necessarily.
For anyone that's not UK, you probably just thought, what language is she speaking in? That's called Scottish. Like, Jesus Christ, I apologise. Because I know that that might be difficult to follow, but she was basically saying that she's called Abby. And if you decide you want to watch this documentary, again, BBC, it's free to watch on iPlayer. It's called Is This Coercive Control? Abby was driving me insane. And I don't know if it's in bad taste for me to say people have a type. Like, you can sometimes look at someone and think, I bet you're the type of person who this, that and the other. I personally think it is in bad taste to do that, but I'm going to do it now anyway. But I want you to be aware that everything I'm going to say now comes under the caveat of me saying that I don't think it's right for me to think this way. But Abby looks like the kind of person who would probably be more susceptible to manipulation than the average person. And the only reason I say that is because, and again, I think you should look and wear and dress and be however you wish. But I wonder if there's a correlation between someone that is like caked in fake tan, extensions, I don't know. It just seems to me that if you're going to be that committed stroke obsessed to your external appearance, then you're probably searching for some kind of validation. And if you're searching for some kind of validation, if you find it, then you'll probably want to cling on to it. And if you want to cling on to it, you will probably tolerate more bullshit than someone who doesn't give two fucks what you think, thus aren't necessarily as obsessed in their external appearance. Now, I don't know if I've just overthought this, but Abby annoyed me in her views, but then everything taken into account in terms of her being caked in fake tan. You know when someone's got so much fake tan that their knuckles are almost the knuckles of a black person, but they're a white person? That's kind of where Abby is, right? And it's kind of, there's one girl I was very close with many years ago, and I've never known a human wear as much fake tan, but she was adorable. I loved her to death. So, cool. But, you know, I guess I don't really know what I'm talking about here or why I've gone down this caveat, but Abby annoyed me. But by the same token, I don't feel any ill feelings towards her because maybe that's all she knows. And in Abby's defense, in the last 5 minutes of the documentary, she had a complete flip. But she only had that flip because she was presented with evidence to suggest, she was presented with hard evidence that made that flip almost inevitable. I'm kind of speaking in loose terms here because I don't want to spoil the documentary for you, but Abby is the one to watch. And I'm going to end very briefly on Emily because I've just showed you, you know, I've just told you who annoyed me. I'd like to tell you now who I was 100% an advocate of. And she was called Emily. This is what Emily had to say.
Nobody, especially in her position.
That isn't Emily, by the way. You're probably thinking, Jesus Christ. This is another dude. Emily's after the dude.
Lightheartedly chooses to take out their loan. But we all know why she did it. And we all know that it came from a place of fear. And it, with the abuse thing, emotionally, she was put in that place by him. And if she feels like she was abused, who's to say she wasn't?
I really like that guy. I don't know what his name is, but he was one of the few people that I liked as well. So Emily is next.
Emily, I'm bloody scared at like how shit your life can become. It's so hard to get a conviction when it comes to abuse because it's so hard to prove. And like, Jesus Christ, like watching some of this stuff has made me want to cry because I go, if I was ever treated like that, I don't know what I'd do. And how they have dismissed the emotional abuse. Oh, but don't all couples fight? I'm like, no, like not in that way. And it's so scary how easily they could squash everything she said.
And what about the fact that, you know, she admits in court that he's never been violent towards...
Right, I'm going to leave it there. So, Emily, I'm a massive fan. I loved Emily to death. And from the get-go, Emily was very, very emotionally aware. And she could see the signs of abuse from the get-go. Emily's opinion remained the same from start to finish. Like, this guy's a bellend. And it just got me thinking. You know how on this podcast I've spoken about my increasing propensity to question my first thought, right? I had to do that relentlessly while watching this documentary because my first thought often was, are you like listening to these young adults not aware of what's abuse? For the most part, I was like, you're a dick. But I caught myself very quickly, well, they're not a dick though, are they? Because you've had like at least twice as long on this earth as they have. So you have become somewhat acclimatized to the signs and you became more aware of it. And I thought to myself, when you were 20, were you aware of the subtleties of emotional abuse? And I had to answer, perhaps not. So I would implore you to watch this episode with this, to watch this documentary with, if, especially if you're like kind of in your late, if you're in your 30s or later, I'd probably recommend you watch this with some degree of sympathy, you know, and perspective, I guess, because, you know, we accumulate skills as we go through life. So, you know, they're quite young, I guess, and maybe they're not as perceptive to what is emotional abuse. And once I started thinking about it from that way, I gave them a pass. And even Abby, the one I was talking about that was annoying me, I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe that's all she knows. Maybe she is grown up in an environment that's abusive, so she's been conditioned to think it's okay. I haven't, so I know that it isn't okay. Maybe she hasn't had that luxury. And as I progress through this shit we call life, there's a certain comfort that comes from not jumping to judgments all the time and trying to figure out why people think the way they think. And then I was thinking to myself, mate, if everybody was like you, how would you feel about that, CK? if the world was full of CKs, right? How would you feel about that? And that's the question I'd like you to think about, actually, as well. This is the final question of the week, because I think it's another question that I wonder if we don't ask ourselves it enough, because it's a fascinating question. I asked myself, dude, if the world was like you, how would that play out? I think we'd die out very quickly because everyone would just stay at home. I just don't think a world of me would be conducive. I mean, we all know that the population does need to be... there definitely needs to be some population control going on, but there's a difference between population control and nobody leaving the house, thus no shagging going on. So I don't know if the world should be just me, to be honest, because as we know, based on former episodes, I just love chilling with me and my classical music and my beer and my shit. And I don't know if that's conducive to a productive, fulfilling planet. I wonder if the world was full of me's, how else would that play out? I should have thought about this before I started recording, but I didn't really give it any thought. It was just, oh, I might talk about that on the podcast. Would you be... Okay, so here's the final bit of homework for this week. DM me and tell me if the world was full of yous, everyone was like you, everyone thought the same as you, everyone got upset about the same things as you, everybody was excited about the same things as you made everybody happy. If the world was full of yous, what would be the one benefit to existence and what would be the one shortcoming of existence? My shortcoming would be no shagging, no one would leave the house, everyone would die, and that's it. the one benefit of everyone being like me, probably just less people talking bullshit in my ear, because people do bother me with their bullshit, really, and I don't want to know. So that'd be quite nice. I think it'd be a more serene planet if there were more me's, because I don't like really have any great interest in just idle chit chat for the sake of it. So that'd be nice. Like, bus stops would be more pleasing because there won't be people talking about the weather. And everyone would have a really, really shapely penis. Send me a direct message and you and I will hang out next week.